This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235, and let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Hi. Thank you. Beautiful weather. We didn't mention the weather. The storms went through, and we didn't get much rain at all. They were predicting this, you know, 2.5 inches.
What?
We got, the winery got, I don't know, 3,500ths of an inch, and
wow,
you know, that's no,
it
not much.
Poured here, it flooded.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah,
just,
I mean, the winds were. Did you have winds too, or no?
Well, yeah, we got winds. There was a lot of winds, but the actual rains themselves, it was, you know, at the winery here at the house, we're about 25 miles difference between the house and the winery. And same thing here, winds, but, you know, not much rain at all. Not nearly what they were saying. They were going to be like 2.5-3 inches in areas and all that. And we only got like 3,500 at the winery.
It was huge here. There's a lot of rain, hot winds, damage from the winds and everything. It was,
wow.
It was blowing pretty bad, but really bad storms. But I thought it was going to hit you all first. And then, are we on? Oh, sorry.
We're on the air.
Yep.
Test it. yeah, I just, you know, but we need the rain, you know, no question. We don't have a California 5-year drought type thing going for us, but we definitely need the rain. And now it's all cleared up and it's gorgeous out, and humidity is supposed to be low for the next 3 or 4 days. And it's just like, you know, beautiful Florida living now. So,
yeah, it's good.
Holiday weekend, people be coming in from all over the country. In fact, I've had people from the country visiting. You know, people from Colorado came in yesterday. Hi, shout out to them. I've had people from Chicago, actually not Chicago, or outside Chicago, and I can't remember what town they said. And then some from Minnesota, and what was it? Maine, I think. Yes, Maine. Somebody was in Maine. So you know, the tourists are coming back. The school's out tomorrow in this area. So we should be getting more visitors from around the country. So if you're in the area and you're listening from around the country, stop by and say hey. Always appreciate that.
How was Wolfstock last last week?
Fantastic.
I saw some photos, it looks like, but good.
Fantastic. The weather held out. They were predicting rain coming in early afternoon. In fact, Friday, there was a chance of rain. Then also, those rains passed through about 3:30, and people were there getting set up and getting stuff prepared and all that for the next day. And we're all going, oh boy, and this is predicted tomorrow for the same thing. But it held off. It didn't rain at all throughout the whole thing. In fact, there wasn't even the threat of rain. It was just a gorgeous day. It was cloudy enough to keep it a little bit cooler. There were 53 vendors that showed up. All sorts of adoption agencies, just different pet adoption agencies. Florida Skunk Rescue was there. Those things are so sweet, by the way. And there was dog rescue groups and all sorts of different things. There was vendors for all types of dog and pet outerwear and leashes and treats and you name it. It was represented there. There was just so many different ones. People walking around carrying the bags full of the stuff that they bought for their pets. People were coming in with all sorts of different dogs and everything. There was a whole variety of dogs. One skirmish I heard about, a person came in, tied their dog up on a tree, and another dog went over to it, and they got into a little hissy fit with each other, a little growling and snapping and stuff. And people came over and separated them, and it was fine. That's the only incident that I heard about, you know, all day. People were coming in with great big dogs inside there. The big dogs are usually pretty good. It's the little dogs that yip and bark and everything that have to show that they're tough because they're so little. So, and we had more incidents with the little dogs barking, but no fights or anything. And we had a lady that brought in a ring-tailed lemur. Yeah, she came in with a ring-tailed lemur. She had a diaper on because she didn't want a ring-tailed lemur to be dropping calling cards all over the place. So she had a diaper on it, and it was good. It was stayed on her shoulder and all that. I heard that she went outside and the thing ran up a tree and set up in a tree, and the lady said, "Oh, it'll come back down. It does that." And about 20 minutes later, it came back down out of the tree and went back on her shoulder. There was an unbelievable amount of different dogs and stuff. And people were just good. It was a good event. It was held for the purpose of Pasco County Animal Services. Pasco County Animal Services is a county operation, but the county pays for the shelter and food, everything else, any operations that need to be done on the animal, shots, all that stuff has to be paid for by the Pasco County Animal Services. The Friends of Pasco County Animal Services. And they put on this fundraiser for it, and it was good. They made some good money. Raised some much needed funds to help them through the year. This is one of the biggest events that they put on throughout the year. So it was wonderful. It really was. It was a good event. They made money for the events, and we had a good day at the winery, and people were buying glasses of wine and bottles of wine, and we were donating back $1 for every bottle of wine that was bought back to the organization, and also 50 cents on every glass that was bought. And it was now we raised $534 for them that we actually gave them, plus their other stuff that they got and different things and all that. So they did very well. It was a good event. We're already looking forward to Woofstock 4 being held next year. And they were also doing overtures, if you will, about maybe one in the fall. We don't know yet. It's something we might work out. We'll see. But definitely next spring. So, yes, it was a good event.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's always good when the weather cooperates and everything comes together, and, you know, even though some of the pets, little four-legged family members didn't, get too carried away where you had to call the police or anything. So that was good. But
the weather did. That's one of our concerns too. That was really one of our major concerns, was they were predicting the first part of the last week, they were talking 70% chance of rain Saturday. And then it started to fluctuate up and down, up and down, up and down. And we ended up with just really a gorgeous day. We had pet groomers there. We had all just an unbelievable amount of pet-associated vendors and groomers, and actually people-associated, too. We had people selling different jewelries, and we had people selling we had food vendors there, hot dogs and hamburgers, and One vendor was doing vegan burger, so that was available. And after the whole event was over and everybody was gone and everybody had left and all that, and I took a walk around the yard to see if there's anything that was left. And everybody did an excellent job at picking up after their pets. So I was thrilled with that. So
great.
Yeah, it was a good event. It was a good event.
Awesome.
So
today we can look forward to that next. So you're only having one, because I think last time we were talking about, you know, if it's I don't know if it was this event or what was the other event. Maybe you were thinking twice, but that might have been enough for the year.
Possibly in the fall on this one. We don't know yet. Yeah. It's still up in the air. We've got Pasco Pet Fest coming up in the fall, but they're talking possibly another one on this. I don't know yet. We'll see. You know, as the months go on, and if everyone wants to put that type of effort into it again, then we may do another one in the fall.
It's a big undertaking for sure. Okay.
So
was good. Let's see. Very good. Good.
Today.
Good turnout.
Yes. Yeah, it was a good turnout too. It was a good all the way around. Very good turnout. Today is National Wine Day. Yay!
Woohoo! National. Let me try that in. Today is what? Today is what?
National Wine Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
What was that? That was a horrible pop. Let's try that again.
I don't hear it. There you go. It's a cork. I think it's an older cork, but yeah.
There you go. It's come out real well. I was trying to.
If you have the microphone right up to the. Yeah. You have to have the microphone just in the right place to get the cork sound. All right. There you go.
Okay.
How many bottles do you have?
So if you have not opened your bottle of wine for today, then please do so. And if you're listening to this on archives, I really wish you would have had your wine, because today is National Wine Day. Not in any particular one. We have National Malbec Day, and we have National Cabernet Sauvignon Days, and we have everything else. But this is just like all of them. You don't have to be picky. This is all of them. But I am enjoying a 19. I'm enjoying a 2015 Fetzer Cabernet Sauvignon this evening. Fetzer has been around for quite some time. It says they were established in 1968. I was thinking they were older than that. It says, in 1968, Barney Fetzer's hard work and rebellious nature revolutionized California winemaking. No. Based on Barry's belief that what's good for the earth is good for the vine, Fetzer continues its heritage of sustainable farming, energy conservation, and social responsibility. Our Cabernet Sauvignon appreciates the warmer vineyards of California's lower foothills, bringing out elegant flavors of black cherry and chocolate. And this is Fetzer's Vineyards in Mendocino County. So up in the north of Napa. Yeah.
Does that one have the alcohol content on the label or no?
Yes, it does.
I think last time you had a, I think it was 2014, and you couldn't find the alcohol content on the bottle label.
Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that.
I think it was 2014.
It's not on this one either. Pine sulfite to refund for the bottle. I just read you the back label. Pioneers in sustainability, it says. Learn more about and visit Fetzer.com. Then it has the government warning, which is required. In the front of the bottle says, over 40 years of tradition, established 1968, pioneers in sustainability, California 2015, Fetzer Valley Oaks Cabernet Sauvignon. Wait a minute. Here we go. I found it. very fine print on the front label on the right-hand side, on a different angle, completely different font than anything else on the label. It says alcohol 13.5 by volume. So.
Okay. Well, there you
wow.
go.
Yeah. I know. It's interesting that they hid it like that. That's funny that they would hide it. But Fetzer, yeah, Fetzer puts out a pretty decent product. They it's been praised over the years, and it's been vilified over the years. But overall, it's a pretty decent product. So, but National Wine Day, pop open your wines and enjoy. Tomorrow, National Cherry Dessert Day.
Yeah.
Also, Ramadan Day for all of you who are. Of that persuasion. Saturday, it doesn't give a particular day. They're just honoring National Salsa Month on this particular thing. This is National Salsa Month. This is National Barbecue Month, by the way, too. I mentioned that at the beginning of the month. I just want to reaffirm that. Also, National Hamburger Month is this month. Sunday is National Hamburger Day and also National Brisket Day. Monday is Memorial Day, which is National Biscuit Day, which would seem strange that you would have a biscuit day on Memorial Day and not a hamburger day, because that would be, oh well. So, either way, you've got yourself all sorts of reasons to drink on those on this holiday weekend. National Mint Julep Day. I don't know any wine that would go with that, but still, National Mint Julep Day is Tuesday. Wednesday is National Macaroon Day. I haven't had macaroons in ages. National Macaroon Day is coming up on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we jump into a new month. So there you go. That things to celebrate with wine over the next few days here. We were talking before the program, and Mike asked me about a posting on Facebook, and I didn't see it. So he's got it, and I'm going to let him convey the information to you about it.
Yes. So. I am looking up something here that might go along with this, and I cannot find – it's under Michigan. Oh, good. There's no label on there. Anyway, yes, I was – this came through on Facebook, one of those, you know, little – you start following a bunch of wineries and things there and Twitter, and you get information on them. And apparently, according to Crane Chicago Business website, that's at chicagobusiness.com, and it's also caught on to several other websites now in the area. Entente, I think that's the right pronunciation, E-N-T-E-N-T-E, Entente Spirits, the parent company of Round Barn Winery, Distillery, and Brewery in Baroda, Michigan, also includes free run cellars in Berrien Springs and Round Barn Public House in Michigan has purchased Tabor Hill Winery. The owners of Harbor Country's popular Round Barn have purchased Tabor Hill Winery, Michigan's fourth largest winery. Which they're going to make some changes. Most of them is going to be will be cosmetic, but Round Barn's craft beers, spirits will be offered now at Tabor Hill, and of course with Tabor Hill's wine. So that the actual terms of the deal weren't disclosed or anything. The Tabor Hill Winery has been owned by the David Upton family since the late 1970s. And it has been sold. So there you go. Just saw that coming. I go, wow, I think we've had Tabor Hill on here, but now for some reason I can't find, I think they were on the show. We did a Michigan show back in 2011. And we did a couple of shows with Michigan during that time. And that may be it, but it's not in the show description. So,
yeah, but we split them up. Yeah. Back then we were doing a couple of different interviews, a show instead of just one. So, we might not have. That was it. Might not be listed as the main one there. So.
Yeah. So it's kind of just read the article off of Crane's Chicago Business or ChicagoBusiness.com, and there's information quite a bit about the the family and everything, that how they started and all that. But that's pretty much the gist of it. It has been sold.
Did it say anything that they were up for sale, or was it just something they decided?
No.
Right away?
No, nothing.
Yeah.
No, not that I can see in there, but it's just, no.
No, we hear about wineries for sale all the time, you know, here and there and all that. And, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know about this main company here that bought them, but, you know, I wonder if maybe they walked in and said, hey, we're looking at expanding our portfolio of spirits and wines, and we gave them an offer they couldn't refuse.
I'm looking on the Red Barn website. It's on drinkmichigan.com, and it goes a little bit more into detail. It's almost like a full circle type of story. I'm not sure who we had as a guest on there. I need to find out if this is the same person. I wonder if we had him on here before. I don't know how far back my file goes, but it's not on there. But we had somebody on there, and I can't remember what. I don't know.
I remember. I gotta find it. And I can't remember who it was. Can't remember if it was a winemaker or if it was.
Yeah.
The owner, I don't recall right now. Haber Hill, the website, I'm sure that they said, you know, like you mentioned, they're not going to change anything, so you can still go to taberhill.com. You're making some weird noises. It's clicking. Noises and all sorts of stuff. So,
right.
You're not coming in.
I just muted it. Did that sound better?
No, not a lot. I can hear you, but it's not making the clicking. But it just doesn't sound good. Sound quality coming through.
Okay, I might need to log off or check it again.
Yeah.
Try something.
Yeah, it's. Oh, scratch the gravity and everything.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll mute my microphone.
Now you're sounding better. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, while we're talking about wineries and receiving stuff from it, Ennery River Winery sent out a couple emails to me. On the 11th, they announced their Back Porch Mother's Day event. For May the 11th, or for May the 14th, they had music by Alex Davis and local handcrafted wine by the bottle or glass, and they were showing their Sweet Southern Sass, their red table wine at Ennery River. It was Sunday event from 2:30 p.m., and then they had another one at 5:30. So it was a Mother's Day event at Ennery River Winery. We talked to them back on April the 20th, I think, something like that. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, April the 20th was when we talked with them. They also sent a new wine and tasting menu. The little email says, taste South Carolina wine for just $10. Wine tastings include 8 to 10 wines and a souvenir glass. And it said they're open today, which was sent on May 19th. It says today through Saturday, noon to 6. Plus, they're got their Back Porch series every Sunday in May. And the Time Pirates will be there this Sunday. And they said they have a newly added to the wine tasting. This is a Montepulciano, a red wine made from an Italian grape variety, processed unoaked, deeply colored with moderate acidity and low tannins, with a smooth, velvety finish. So that was added to their... to their list of wines that they have available. And then it says view wine tasting menu, and I clicked on it. My computer is running extremely slow over the last couple of weeks, and I think it's because our Frontier wants us to upgrade, so that's why it's running so slow. But the wine menu that they are tasting now is Pinot Grigio, the Barbarian, Moscato, Montepulciano, a Bless Her Heart, a Ruby Cabernet, a Pinot Noir, Sweet Tipsy Rose, Plum, Blueberry, and Naked Noble. So, new email, Ennery River Winery just came out with these. So if you are in and around Newberry, South Carolina, be sure to check them out. So, okay. And, let's see, I've got a few things to talk about here, a couple of things to cover. And let's go back to this here. I got to find where I'm at. I opened up so many things while Mike was talking there. I'm sure Mike does the same thing, open up a whole bunch of stuff and can't maneuver back to where he needs to be very easily. That's just what I'm doing now. All right, here we are. Let's see. Let me look at this. You're still out there. I just wondered. And I went back to the studio and noticed you were still there.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. I don't want this anymore. Let's close that. Let's go back to there. Okay. A few things I want to talk about here. Just I noticed, and then I want to end up talking about grapes a little bit. And I know, we're all about wine and grapes are part of it, but I saw some interesting stuff that I want to share. So we'll talk about that toward the end here. China. We're talking about how big China is, how it's exploding, how much there is going on in China. I saw this, China's wine regions. One of the biggest ones now, one of that's exploding, and I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong because I know one word in Chinese, and that's Yangtao, and that means carambola or starfruit. That's the only word I know in Chinese. But this China wine region is Ningxia, I think, Ningxia. Ningxia. This is located about 400 miles from Beijing. It's one of the youngest wine-growing regions in China, but it's becoming extremely prominent, featuring some premium wines and stuff. It is located, it says here, marked by a vast expanse of parched land and the Gobi Desert. Quality winemaking is made possible by the rolling mountain range called the Helan Mountains, H-E-L-A-N, Helan Mountains, that block cold winds blowing in from the northwest and the Tangier Desert. So this winemaking is located in the foothills of the mountain range and has approximately 200,000 hectares. In the past few years, there was what Feng Yi Walker called a gold rush to the wineries there. A new winery, a boutique winery, Silver Heights, won national accolades and awards, which drew interest from Moët Chardon Dhone and Pernod Ricard, both who are now making wines in Ningxia. The region has close to 100 wineries at the moment, and roughly another 100 are under construction. And I read that, wow. I mean, talk about an area that's exploding for wines. His current vine acreage is 610,000 MU, or MU, whatever that means. That is a different type of measurement that I'm not aware of, and I didn't look it up because there's no click on it, so I didn't look it up, or 40,666 hectares. The government is hoping to push the region vintage acreage to 700,000 MU, or 46,667 hectares by 2020. So they're looking at exploding in getting more grapes out there. Currently, they are right at 200 million bottles a year. The main grapes planted there are the Bordeaux varieties of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, and a Cabernet Grenache, which is a great variety championed by China's biggest winery, Chengyu, as well as some white varieties like Chardonnays and stuff. This is an interview of Emma Goa, who is the winemaker of Silver Heights. And I just asked her a few questions. It says, what's special about the wines from this area? And she said it has a couple of characteristics that makes it perfect for that. It's very dry, so you don't have to worry about fungus or rot, which is a big plus. And she said that's a big problem in the Burgundy region because it's moist all the time, so they don't have that worry at all. Secondly, it has a continental climate, so there's a big difference between the night and day temperatures, which helps ripen the grapes and gives it a lot more character. And the balance of the acidity is excellent to the making of the wines. And geographically, she said the soil is also very good. It's well-draining and stony, and rather poor quality, but it helps make some very hardy grapes because of the energy that it puts into it. Another question to ask her is, as a winemaker, what are the most common misconceptions on the international level about Chinese winemaking? And she said a lot of people have supported China winemaking and big names around the world and all that, even Wine Spectator magazine. And she said that they're appreciative of the help and of spreading the word. It says there's definitely an innate prejudice against it on the international trade. They believe that Chinese winemakers can't make quality wine. And she said it continues to show them that they can as they continue to produce more and better wines. So the Chinese winemaking is fairly new. China invented compasses, paper making, and gunpowder, and figured out how to raise 1 billion people out of poverty. And she says, if she remembers correctly, 3 of the 10 tallest buildings in the world are in China. So being able to make wine is something that was rather simple and easy to learn compared to the accomplishments that the Chinese have made over the centuries. Ask her the challenges of a woman. And it's funny because I read this and it's the same challenges that women face around the world. Taken seriously. They are... actually, there's women in winemaking all over. We talked to a lady in Australia. Oh, I can't think. What's her name? Sonia. We talked to Sonia in Australia who makes wine. And she said the same thing. It's each year they have to prove themselves again and again. For some reason, women aren't accepted in the wine industry. It says the biggest challenge that she's encountered has always been sourcing good grapes. And, you know, and that's the thing that we hear from everybody around everywhere. Whenever we talk to anybody, any wineries or anything anywhere, they're always saying sourcing the grapes is always a problem. Like I've said over and over, if you've got a little bit of money and you want to invest in some land and grow grapes, pick any state, any of them. We'll be more than happy for the wineries in those states to be buying your grapes. So, it's a constant, common problem that you find everywhere. She ends up with saying, we often find Cabernet Grenache, which we prefer not to work with, going in with our order of Cabernet Sauvignon. We would have to send a whole truck back and frantically search for more Cabernet Sauvignon to make up for the lost amount. It is a frustrating and stressful experience. And that's why they decided to plant their own vines, despite the cost and energy required, because in that way they can control the quality instead of having to buy them. So, interesting article. I don't have it. Ningxia, Ningxia, Ningxia region of China, exploding in winemaking. And if you look on maps on the parallels where the wines are grown around the world, that is right in the heart of it. That's right in the same parallels and stuff that wines are made throughout the world. So interesting, interesting little article there on it. I'm slowly putting it together, and it's a slow process. Believe me, I am going nuts trying to do it. But I'm trying to put together a website eventually, but for now, just a list of wines or spirits, liquor, beer, wine, whatever, that's sold at major league stadiums around the country. And not just baseball, since it's summer, not just football or hockey, but all over. Just what is sold at these darn our professional sports events. No secret, I'm a sports fan. And so finding out what they're doing at these different stadiums has been an ongoing thing for me. I send emails and I don't get responses, and I try to look up something on the sites, and it's hard to come by. But I just saw this something here. Silver Oak. The Silver Oak Winery. Silver Oak's been around for a long, long time. I remember Silver Oak Winery when I lived out in California many, many years ago, going up, and it was one of the first ones that you would run across going into Napa, that area there. But Silver Oak has teamed up in partnership with Promi Winery and to a partnership with San Francisco Giants. It is, official wine partner of the franchise. As part of the deal, the Giants will rebrand its Oracle Luxury Suite with Silver Oak and Tuomi, offer a Silver Oak memorabilia case, participate in the sampling events with Silver Oak wine, and provide in-stadium branding. Cool. The deal is 3 years in length, with the hope that it expands on a Silver Oak relationship with the Giants that has grown very organically, the article states. When Orlando Cepeda was inducted to the Hall of Fame, he brought his own bottle of Silver Oak to toast with. When the Giants commemorated Bruce Bochy's 800th win as a manager, they commissioned a double magnum of 2012 Silver Oak Alexander Valley Cabernet. Silver Oak also snuck its way into being the wine of choice for prominent sports personalities outside of the organization, all without pay. LeBron James, Peyton Manning, and Coach K, among others, are all fans of the wine. The deal is all about giving Silver Oak fans access to our wines in a hallowed setting. Silver Oak's business relationship with the Giants is its first sports sponsorship. And there may not be more sports-related deals coming down the pipeline. There are no current discussions with any other sports sponsorships. Silver Oak's sponsorship with Giants was not part of any sports-related strategy. It says, for Silver Oak, the San Francisco market is perhaps the largest fan base. And given the proximity to the wine country, AT&T Park, which is where the Giants play, has an unrivaled luxury wine program. Okay, quit flicking. I hate it when it does that. Unrivaled luxury wine program in sports. So I thought it was a pretty good opportunity to be a partner to a hometown team who love fans and the brand and the wine and the Giants. So, interesting. Like I say, I've been looking at different things to try to get it. And here, Silver Oak is in a partnership with the San Francisco Giants. I still have a soft spot in my heart for the Giants. Oh, what's it? I don't want that. There we go again.
Pairing food and drink is very, very subjective. Every.
Okay, that was a little pop-up there from Forbes magazine. So I had to take a sip of wine. So Silver Oaks and San Francisco Giants. This is, well, it's not all about wine, but it is an interesting little thing. We've talked about the big companies and how large Gallo is and Constellation brands and Bronco as wine brands and how enormous they are and all that. The biggest market, the biggest, what is, what do y'all put
in the
trend analysis.
Hi.
Okay, see, I can't turn it off, because if I turn my sound down, then it will...
There's no pause control?
Yeah, I finally found it. It was hidden underneath. Yeah. Yeah.
Websites do that?
Yeah, it was hidden underneath the thing, so I had to find it before it would let me do it. Okay. The biggest wines are our biggest liquor companies in the world. Johnnie Walker is number one. Well, not anymore. The company that makes China's eye-wateringly strong Mao drink has edged out Johnnie Walker, our Diego company, as the world's most valuable liquor firm. Kui Chao Motoi, whose signature product has an alcohol content of 53%, hit a market capitalization of $71.5 billion last month, pushing it past Diego. Based in the southwestern province of Guizhou, Motoi makes a high-end type of Beiju, a popular Chinese liquor distilled from sorghum and rice. The company's stock has been on a tear this past year, soaring more than 50%. So if you're only into marketing out there, that's... it was used to toast Richard Nixon on his landmark trip to China in 1972. And is considered the gift to give to those who are drinkers and you want to impress them. It is served at lavish banquets all around China, and every time the president of China has a event, it is served there. It is now the biggest item, biggest moneymaker. Says there is still potential with a lot of young people now can afford the price tag for a 500-ml bottle, which is about one pint. Can cost as much as $580. It is approaching, has a huge dependency on the Chinese market, which accounts for 95% of its sales. But Russia is starting to pick up on it a lot and is starting to make inroads into Australia and now the United States. So 53% alcohol, though. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's high alcohol. That really is. So that's just very, very hot. So just I wanted to share that little thing with you there. Like I say, it's not particularly about wine, but Diego does a lot of wine. Diego is awful big on wine. And they've lost their... the number one lead there around the world. Ningxia, the region I told you about, which I know I am pronouncing that wrong, has been stricken by a disease on their vines. They've had to destroy 7,000 grapevines after it was found to be infected with leaf roll virus. And the leaf roll virus is the same disease that wreaked havoc in South Africa vineyards back in the 20th century and then again in the early 2000s. The Chinese grape industry said that the infected with leaf roll were burnt and destroyed. This is the first joint action carried out by Ningxia Bureau of Grape Industry Development and its Forest Pest Control and Quarantine Station. From March 22nd to the 24th, They assessed samples from 22 varieties and 612 rootstocks and nursery vines submitted by Pernod Ricard, China's leading domestic winery. Great Wall and three other companies found two batches of nursery vines submitted by two of the companies were infected with leafrovirus types 1 and 3, which prompted the destroying of 7,000 vine stocks. Can destroy grapevines. Anyway, the spread by mealybugs through the use of infective plant material and grafting. The virus is commonly associated with red vine varieties, and infected vines will cause the leaves to curl up at the edges, just like it sounds. South Africa was prominently affected. It was in a lot of their vineyards in the past. Based on figures released by Ningxiu Wine Industry Development Bureau, in the past 4 years, it has destroyed 547,000 vines affected by various diseases. Wow. It's hard to comprehend destroying that many vines. But to save the majority, you guys, you have to destroy some. And that's just really what they're looking at. This was interesting here. Now, I'm not going to get to talk about grapes a lot, but this is one of the reasons why it led me to grapes with this article here. This was the 14 most unusual grape varieties in Napa Valley. And made me wonder, so why I started click on grapes and wine grapes. There is a wine grape out there that has black juice. And I found it once, and I didn't write down the name to it. And I'm still trying to find it. But whenever I talk to people and I say, all grape juice is white, the color comes on the skin. There is one that does have black juice. And every time you punch in something like black juice and wine grapes, it starts telling you how to make grapes and wine. And it doesn't really go to what I want. But this article said, 14 of the most unusual varieties in Napa Valley, grape varieties in Napa Valley. We know that they're famous for the Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, and really, Cabernet Sauvignon is the king. You get a cab from Napa and all that. 485 Napa wineries offer Cabernet Sauvignon. I was staggered when I first read that. 485 Napa wineries. Now, that statement itself, 485 Napa wineries, and then offer Cabernet Sauvignon, with Merlot a distant second at 214 wineries, followed by Bordeaux and varieties and blends and stuff. Chardonnay and Cabernet Blanc split the number one spot offered by white wines with an equal number of 222 each. So Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, which I can understand. I mean, Chardonnay is all over the place. Averaging $6,000 per ton, and I've been telling people $5,000, $4,000, but they're saying averaging $6,000 per ton, the price of Cabernet grapes is significantly higher than any other variety. However, the fruit from extraordinary vineyards, such as Tocallon, Tocallon, can reach $33,000 per ton. I'll just stop for a second and let that soak in. $33,000 per ton. Now, a ton of grapes is going to give you approximately 4,000 bottles of wine. Okay. Just a little shy of 4,000. Despite the distinct financial advantage of growing cab, they are also doing other varieties in Napa. There is H.W. Crab, who planted close to 400 grape variations in a single vineyard, then bravely pursued obscure ones. This CEO, this is throughout Napa. This is some of the ones that you don't hear often about. And some of these you do. I mean, I'm sure they used to plant a lot more of these many years ago, because I remember getting some of these wines when I lived there and used to go to Napa. And in fact, the very first one here, the Barbera. Barbera is noted for being an Italian wine, but I fell in love with the Barbera many years ago when I was in California, and I used to go to wineries and they'd have it there. So, but now they're saying it's an obscure one. It's an Italian grape. It really produces a lot of fruit. It's really well known for its fruit. Low tannin, high acidity, but you know, if made right and you let the acid and the tannins and all that balance, it gives you a nice medium body, bright wine that I particularly love. That's been growing still, they're saying, in Napa now. Grignolino, this is predominantly also from Italy's Piedmont region. Low alcohol, light body, fruity, some nice acids and tannins. Heights Cellars is offering this as a varietal. They began producing it way back in 1961. Mendus, I think is pronounced. Mendus is a French variety that is grown primarily in the Sauvay province of France. A dark, very aromatic wine. I've had them produced before too. The tannins make it for great aging. Lager Meredith is the only brand in Napa Valley that offers this particular wine. UC Davis professor of viticulture and enology, Carol Meredith, left her teaching duties in 2003 to become a full-time vintner. And her and her husband now have a vineyard and make wine, and Mendus is one of them that they have in their portfolio. Nero di Avella, N-E-R-O-D-A-V-O-L-A, another Italian variety, is named after the Sicilian town of Avola. Is similar to the Syrah, sweet tannins, peppery components. Only Napa winery that's offering this is Poletti Vineyards, which is being grown in Calistoga. So it's not really Napa, I suppose, but the cuttings that they're using come directly from Sicily 2 years ago. Grenache. This is our Grenache, Spanish grape. It's one of the hardiest, most widely planted varieties in the world, and it thrives in hotter climates. The Barossa Valley and Paso Robles, it's late ripening, wind and drought resistant, easy to grow. And Napa can be found at Cliff Family Winery, at Kale, Madrigal, Nine Sons, Outpost, Summerston, and Tor Kinward Family Wines. Grenache Rosé was very popular many years ago. I used to see a Grenache Rosé quite often. But you don't see that anymore. Don't know the how it's made or anything, but just say you see Grenache Rosé all the time. Pinot Noir. The Pinot Noir is known as one of the three main components in Champagne. It adds the brightness to the Pinot Noir and Chardonnays and Champagnes, and it's widely planted around the world, but rarely is it offered as a varietal itself. Its flavors are reminiscent of Pinot Noir, but it's 2 out of 3 Napa wineries that offer it as a standalone bottling are sparkling houses: Beauchesne, Domaine Chandon, and Mumm. Pinot Noir. I never had it as a varietal. That's interesting. Tempranillo. Tempranillo is a very popular Spanish variety. It gets its Spanish name Temprano, T-E-M-P-R-A-N-O, referring to its early ripeness. Relatively neutral, low in acid and sugar, and it's used for blending a lot. A lot of your Italian the Italian wines. This is horrible. I guess complete blank on it. But it's used for blending. Typically exhibits red fruit, herbs, a little smokiness. Excuse me. Some of the Napa wineries that are using it are Artisa, Cocorl, Hagafin, Holman, Jarvis, Madrigal, Misuona, Minor, Riviere on Diamond Mountain, Trouchard, Tudal, and Vader. And, you know, all these names, all these wineries, these things are probably just a little small boutique, considering the fact that there are, you know, 400 using the Cabernet Sauvignon alone in Napa Valley. I mean, I said 400, but there's a lot more than that. 485 that use Cabernet Sauvignon alone. So if that's every one of them, I'm sure there's a lot of wineries here that I'm not going to be able to pronounce. Albarino. Albarino is another Spanish variety that's grown in Napa. It's grown in the Spanish areas. Floral stone fruit fragrance, reminiscent of a Viognier. This thick-skinned variety produces wines that are light-bodied, high-acid, low-alcohol. Some of them that sell at Napa: Artisa, Kongsgaard, Luna Vineyards, and Peter Frenes Wine Company. Kongsgaard wine stands out. It's made with a small amount, 90 cases a year, and it has been praised with its lively minerality and purity of taste and flavors. Grenache Blanc. There are only two wineries offering this. It's a white Rhone variety, Priest Ranch, and Three Clicks wines. It is mostly found in Rhone wine and often blended with others. Muscadel. Now, these are grown in the Napa here. Although Muscadel smells like muscat, it is entirely unrelated. Frequently used as a blending grape in Sauternes for the production of white Bordeaux. In Australia, the grape is called Tokay, not to be confused with the Hungarian Tokay. Some great examples of Muscadel: Chambers, R.L. Bowler, and Trevor Jones. They said these are quite intense, these wines. Although Nicolini Wines is Napa's lone producer of the Muscadel. Next one, Malvasia Bianca. Intriguingly, Malvasia Bianca belongs to a group of varieties hailing from the Mediterranean region, all titled Malvasia. They have aromatic stone fruit, peaches, apricot, white currant aromas to them. Wines produced from it have some residual sugar. Wineries, Ballantine, Luna Vineyards, and Sterling make wines from these grapes. Pinot Blanc is a genetic mutation of Pinot Noir. And Alsace is used for still wines and sparklers such as Cremant d'Alsace. And I was going to talk about Cremant wines too. It is often blended with other indigenous grapes. Typically aromas are apple, citrus, floral, high minerality and acidity, and meant for immediate consumption. Check out the wineries of Artisa, Bouchain, Castillo di Amorosa, and Etude. Next one, Rosane. Rosane, I always want to say Rosane. I think it's Rosane. And I'm still probably pronouncing it wrong. Is grown originally in the Rhone region. It's often blended with Marsanne. In the U.S., is widely planted in California, Texas, and Washington. The warm climates give it a fresh, full-bodied flavor. The cooler climates give it more floral, delicate, high-acid volumes. It is challenging to grow, though. Mildew, drought, and wind affect it greatly. Look for it at Elizabeth Spencer Winery, Hagafin Cellars, Kitchcat Cellars, Kongsgaard, Leaf and Vine, Riviera on Diamond Mountain, and Trouchard. And the last one that they have listed here that they're growing, Scuppernong. This odd-sounding creatures, essentially a muscadine grape. A native to southern United States, scuppernong is like a weed here. It grows wild all over the place. It's typically green, bronze in color, and reminiscent of a white table grape, only it's much plumper. High-maintenance variety that requires individual berry picking versus clusters, and that's the muscadine family type to grow in bunches instead of clusters. The lone Napa Valley winery that uses this is Spatura Vineyards, and it features this lovely note to round it mouthfeel, clean and sweet without being cloying or overwhelming. And so there you go. There are some grapes that are grown in Napa Valley that you probably didn't know about. And the wine's available for them. If you're interested in this list, you can always check it out. Let me see the top of this here, and let me give you the URL so that you can. It's Palate Exposure, PalateExposure, PalateExposure.com. And then go /Napa-Valley, and then you can probably find it there. It has all sorts of different articles and everything here. So, Palate Exposure. And I think I'm done for the night because today is National Wine Day. And because of that, it's a good chance to drink it before I go to bed. So, we're done.
And I also saw that, whoa, that's loud.
What?
Oh, no, I just heard myself echoing. May 27th, this Saturday, you are having a wine fest?
Yes. It's a small one.
It's a small
one. I have to explain this. We had a wine fest on the 13th, then we had the Woofstock on the 20th. And then a bunch of vendors got together and says, are you going to have a wine fest on the 27th? And we said, no, we weren't planning on because we just had one on the 20th. And the vendor says, well, we're going to have one. We're going to show up and we're going to be there. So we've got vendors showing up for a wine fest. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, you know what?
We're going to have one. So
yeah. I know. And that's just, you know, it's just what they did, too. They said, well, we're going to be here. I mean, you know, and we said we don't have time to send out all the e-letters on there. So that's okay. We'll be here. We're going to have a wine fest. So this is by Vendor Command Performance that we're going to have a wine fest tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah. That's how good it is. You know what? You had one last week. You know what? We're going to have another one. We're just going to come in and have her.
That's
cool.
Just what they did. Exactly. Because we didn't have one. So the vendors decided to have one. So we said, okay.
The vendors. Okay. Yeah. Hey. Not a problem.
Yeah, not a problem. Okay.
All right. So let's give them some advertising here real quick. I don't have any specific details because I think the last newsletter was about Woofstock, so there wasn't anything particular in there, but it is a wine fest, so you probably already realize who's going to be there. It'll be a smaller one, but not like Woofstock, but let's just run this and go.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Now, are you open on Monday?
Yes.
Is Monday,
yes.
Okay.
Monday's a holiday. Monday's Memorial Day, but mm-hmm. I will be there all day.
Awesome.
And looking forward cool. to tours, out-of-towners. The festival Saturday is, absolutely forgot what I was going to say. The festival Saturday is a small one. We've got Susie's Dogs there. We have Lisa with a raffle rescue.
Okay.
We got Frank and Sharon with Frog Holland.
Yeah.
Frog Holland Jewelry. And then we've got Don, who does woodworking and stuff. And maybe some others that might show up. I don't know. These are the ones that we have been informed of, but there may be more. Don't forget, too, that Father's Day is just next month. So, you know, a good mm-hmm. chance to pick up some items for Daddy Dear. So,
yeah, absolutely. A lot of good stuff there for shopping for days like that. But, yourself for friends, family members, Father's Day, it's great. Great to pick up unique items, handmade stuff, and also with the Raffle Rescue, it's a good organization you want to help out there as well. And that's fantastic. That's interesting. They got together and said, yeah, we're going to be there.
yeah, they did. They took it upon themselves to do this. Yeah. So we're saying, okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. So be there Saturday. That's May 27th, 2017, depending on when you're listening to this, if it's on the archives. This coming Saturday is May 27th, 2017. Don't forget also, October 7th is the 5th annual Pasco Pet Fest. We'll be giving you more details on that a little closer to the date than May, but we'll give you a lot of information on that. And October 28th is the 4th annual San Ann Art and Wine Fest. That's October 28th, so mark those dates down as well, and plan to come out to the winery and just enjoy the good times. And, of course, you know, open 7 days a week. You can come down anytime except the major holidays, and still there's enough to do there at the winery. You can enjoy some great sampling of some great wines, and it's just a family-friendly, pet-friendly place to be. So come on out. It's a good place. And especially if you like the countryside, it is out in the country.
Oh yeah, it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah, people always come out and say, "Oh, this is so nice. Do you live here?" And I say, "No, this is work." You know.
That's the first thing. You know, when I saw it so many years ago, that first thing I thought was, "Oh, okay, it's like a home, you know, location. Like that's where you all were." You know,
was a home. It was a home, you know, for many years, but. Now it's just where we work, you know. So
it's the winery. Yeah. Okay.
It's the
very cool. So this Saturday, Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's going to be vendors there. Great time to shop and bring an appetite and bring some for wine as well. There's going to be food, and you can also get some wine there as well. So definitely stop by this Saturday. And with that, we will be on next
month.
Next Thursday. That will. Already June 1st. Wow. June 1st, 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in this week, and we will see you all next week on the show, and continue drinking wine.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.